restrain me. You can search me. I'll give it all up just to be with you. I'm so happy now you got me. I'll surrender all my love to you. Don't you see what you're doing to me? I'm in love and I can't break free. Now I'm begging with you, baby. Please don't leave me hanging.
Yeah, hi, and welcome to the PlayStation E3 press conference talkabouts, sort of cut up into different pieces because now we're getting to the point where we're not all around at the same time. So I'm the Thurbleton here with Ballard, and we just watched the Sony press conference.
We watched a thing.
We did watch. We watched a big thing showing a lot of little things.
It was a bit weird this year, don't you think? Like,
yeah.
We were just talking about how Sony always like to run long with their press conferences. They usually schedule in an hour and a half of content and quite often end up hitting 2 hours. And then this year it was a lengthy pre-show that I didn't watch a lot of. Did you watch most of that?
I had it in the background, but to be honest, I was not giving it my fullest attention.
I was going to say, I know they showed like Knack 2 there, which was something that didn't show up in the main press conference. I believe they also showed the new Gran Turismo there as well, which is odd that they wouldn't put those into the main event, because the main press conference, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead a bit here, but that was just, it was an hour of trailers bookended with a brief speech on stage, really.
Yeah, I mean, like, we saw a little bit of some of the other Sony guys. Like, Shuhei was in, I think, in the show proper, or maybe just in the pre-show near the end. But, like, that, we barely saw anybody from Sony, like, go on and talk about stuff, especially from any of the teams.
It was weird. It was just... Microsoft kind of did the same thing, apart from the fact they had to announce Scorpio, obviously, but they just had a section of the conference which was just like, hey, we're going to show you all the games now, and it's games, go. I can't say I dislike that. It was just a little bit less, there was less personality, I think, less like expression than his previous years, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, even then, like, it was very nice with, even if show the trailer and then show like footage of somebody getting on stage and showing off the game, like that, I don't know, like
it's nice when you hear the developers talk about it as well.
This was just a bunch of videos to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it was. There was no excitement to it. No fanfare.
So I guess I know it's very late for you. Durin will probably be joining us near the, like, when you're heading out, or I'll just do a separate recording with him, but. From the show, what were some of the highlights for you, or some of the stuff you did want to talk about, either in pre-show? I think there's one thing you're definitely very hyped about from the main show.
No, not really. Just Monster Hunter is coming to consoles and PC. Not just so into PlayStation, but I mean, they showed Monster Hunter World, which kind of got out there a little bit before before E3 started. The trademark got leaked and people were kind of speculating what it was, because we're already expecting a new Monster Hunter on the Switch. Monster Hunter Double Cross has been announced in Japan only, and people were thinking Monster Hunter World doesn't seem like a sensible translation for Monster Hunter Double Cross. Like, Monster Hunter Cross was translated to Monster Hunter Generations in the West, and it wouldn't make sense for them to then randomly call it Monster Hunter World. My guess was, I'd seen people suggesting this could possibly be an MMO, but my guess is what it seems to have turned out to be is that they're not only doing a full high res, like full console graphics Monster Hunter. It appears to be more open world, in that traditionally in Monster Hunter games, all of the areas are divided into separate zones and you kind of travel through loading screens between zone to zone. This just seems like you're tracking a monster in a open environment. And there seems to be a bunch of other gameplay changes, not only from the changes from the art style. It seems to be quite a departure from normal Monster Hunter.
Yeah, like it's hard to pick apart everything from just like one trailer and all that, but, and also the wording of world, Do you think this is going to be maybe not like an MMO, but like kind of what we've seen with the Destiny clones of like Guild Wars 1 sort of thing, of you're going into a hub and then you can go into like the hub is instance, like do you see other players, yeah. But then once you go out.
I hope so. I hope that's the case, because the thing is, the best part of Monster Hunter is doing multiplayer hunts, and I think Monster Hunter would lend itself really well to a Guild Wars style setup where you have cities where you can, like Guild Wars 1 I'm talking
yes,
about.
Yes, Guild Wars 1. So, yeah. Hubs
where you meet players to group up to go on a hunt, and then you go on a hunt and you're in an instance with those players doing your normal hunt. That's not too dissimilar from what we actually already have. Like the way multiplayer in even the PSP version was set up was you had guild halls where you would go up and group up, and you could have up to, I don't know how many players it was, 8 maybe, I'm not really sure, maybe it was more. And then you would group up into groups of 4 and then go on hunts as groups of 4 from there. So I could totally see it working like that. I hope it does. They showed, what they showed entirely so far was single player. So I have no idea what the multiplayer is going to be like. I'm a little concerned, like some of the monsters they showed in the trailer seemed very generic. Monsters that I couldn't like even necessarily pin down what they were meant to be. Like the main monsters they showed, there was a Rathalos, there was a Gypsaros. Like I was able to recognize those from the new designs, but there were a few like just sort of random mobs that seemed a bit weird. And the tracking, like the weird sort of, I don't want to call it dumbed down. It's like really early on to say from just looking at this trailer, this seems like a westernized, a simplified Monster Hunter. But the tracking was very weird, like that you had like glowing fireflies effectively that were kind of like leading you in the direction of where to go, and you would like go to a footprint on the ground and scrape up some dirt, and then they would give you like a new waypoint to track the monster, which seemed a bit odd.
Yeah, it seemed a bit odd. There's I'm sure there some of these facets are part of Monster Hunter, but like the traps and rather cheesy disguise, a fair bit of cheese in the game, which I think is part of the Monster Hunter series, but like,
yeah,
I could definitely see this looked a little bit less like Monster Hunter, more like, yeah, you said a Western version of it. On the topic of just like looks though, I think you were saying, and from what I've seen of other Monster Hunters, this does look a little bit better, right?
This is I don't even know, magnitudes better than any Monster Hunter has ever looked. The thing is with Monster Hunter is that it's always been a portable game. Well, that's not true. The first one was on PS2, but the main entries in the franchise really going forward from there were all portables. So you had PSP, you had 3DS as well. And even when the game came to platforms like Wii, they were kind of just the 3DS version upscaled, and the new Switch version of Monster Hunter Double Cross, again, is the 3DS version upscaled. It's the same assets, it's just at a higher resolution. So the games never had a chance to look good, and people, Monster Hunter fans for ages have been saying, I want to play a Monster Hunter game on my television with proper, next gen isn't the best word to describe it, but it's the easiest term to use, next gen graphics, and this has that. It's interesting though, because it's also marked a departure in the art style. Like it seems like, I don't know whether they felt like they had to do this, but the monster designs seem slightly more quote unquote realistic, more detailed, I guess. But the environments themselves look fantastic, like the plants and the way they move and stuff when you travel through them, and like the water and stuff. Graphically, it looks pretty incredible.
I was never a really big Monster Hunter fan, so for me, it's just gonna be a thing of like, this might be the good hook for me to like try it out if it's gonna be on these big consoles and all that. But yeah, I'm happy for you. But it hasn't really ever been my thing. But yeah, that's cool. It's weird that also, yeah, they showed off on Sony stage instead of on Nintendo's Nintendo Direct tomorrow. But yeah, we might see more of it tomorrow. Who knows?
Well, that's the thing, is this isn't coming to Nintendo platforms. This is a separate entry from the Switch version. So that the interesting thing is, I think a lot of Monster Hunter fans are going to get up in arms about this, saying it's not real Monster Hunter or whatever, because they finally get what they want, and then they're going to shit all over it, of course. But the good news is, the thing that people need to realize is that we've still got traditional Monster Hunter is coming to the Switch. Even if it's only coming to the Switch in Japan, it'll probably get localized. But like, the worst case scenario is, hey, the Switch is region free, just buy that shit on the Japanese eStore and stop moaning. And then you can play your traditional Monster Hunter. And then we're also getting Monster Hunter World on consoles and even on PC eventually next year. And I couldn't be more excited to try both of them, really.
Yeah. So I will go into in depth about any of the other stuff with Durin and all that. But like, is there anything else from the show that like you want to talk about? Horizon Zero Dawn, you know, more snow and more big hunts to stuff, things to hunt.
There's actually quite a number of things that caught my eye in the press conference. Yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn, it's not a standalone expansion, right? It's going to just be an expansion.
I think it's just DLC. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what was it called? The Frozen something?
Frozen Wild.
Frozen Wilds. Okay, cool. I can't say that the ice areas of that game were my favorite. To be honest, I actually preferred a lot of the other environments far more. But that being said, I am way, way, way into Horizon Zero Dawn and will happily play anything they put out of it. I'll lap that shit up.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get back into it just to get a couple of things done post-launch, and just more story from this was probably going to be the thing that just like pulls me over the edge and does another, I don't know, like 10 hours in the game or something. But yeah, I also liked that in the trailer for the DLC of, I can't remember her name anymore, the protagonist Aloy had the like, you know, super final hard to get armor that everyone invariably ended up getting.
Yes, yeah. I didn't get that because I couldn't be asked to go back and get the two collectibles that I'd missed. But
that's fair.
I think
that's fair.
I hope the story in this is good, because the story in the base game was fantastic. I trust that it will probably be. Do we have any idea when it's set? I presume it's set before the ending of the game.
No, I can see it after the ending.
I mean, yeah, I could totally see it after the ending. I'm just interested, like, from a gameplay point of view, the game, without spoiling it too much, it resets you a little bit when you finish the game. So I'm wondering how you trigger this, whether it's just an option on the main menu or whether it's an in-world thing.
It just brought me back to just before the final mission.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So yeah, it couldn't be set after the final mission is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about like thematically in the world, where like when it, the events, well, the, when these I don't know, I don't think these are,
yeah, I think
big...
true, it might not be that related, but the world has changed quite a bit by the end, and it could have an impact on the story of this is what I was thinking. But either way, I'm looking forward to that. Definitely want to go play more Horizon.
Okay. Yeah. And then was anything else? I mean, like the Shadow of the Colossus up-res, there's not a lot to talk about that, but I am excited for that. I will probably be purchasing that.
I still want to talk about that, because I kind of only caught it like out the corner of my eye. I was still on the Monster Hunter confusion train at that point, so I was trying to come to terms with whatever the hell I'd just seen in the Monster Hunter trailer. But that looked really good graphically.
It did look really good.
The main character looked odd to me, like a lot younger than I would have pegged him as in the original Shadow of the Colossus. I don't know if you got that vibe as well.
I mean, like, he wasn't an adult in the original trailer, like in the original game, no, by any means, but like, yeah, maybe he looks a preteen kind of stuff, who knows.
Yeah, it's interesting. And the other thing I find interesting about the fact that they're making this is that they already did a HD re-release of Shadow of the Colossus, right?
I don't think so.
On PS3. They did like it was like a re-release of the PS2 game running at 1080p and solid 60 FPS, one of the two. Basically, they released a version of it that didn't run like shit on the PS3.
Yeah, they did a joint version of it of Ico and Shadow in the Colossus Classic HD. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really weird that they're going to revisit it again. But this seems like a from-the-ground-up remake, because it looks vastly different. Like, I don't think this is using anything original, necessarily.
That yeah, guess. I just imagine this is like the team that did... was their last game. The one after Shadow of the Colossus, after Ico. The Last Guardian, game. Yeah. It's probably just like that team is like, okay, well, this is gonna be an easy thing for you guys to pump out. Just work on this next.
I mean, I'm excited to try that. I think I would probably buy that. It's been long enough since I beat Shadow of the Colossus that I'd play it again.
Yeah.
And if it looks really good and plays the same, then sure, why not?
Definitely. Anything else from the show jump out at you?
Yeah. The other thing I'd probably pick up on is God of War. We got to see more of the new God of War. Kind of answered a few questions, I think, that were left unanswered at the last when they showed it last year. A lot of people, I think, were speculating whether or not you would continue to play as Kratos for the rest of the game, or whether you would, you know, swap to his son at some point. The gameplay, they showed actual combat, like more combat. I guess they showed one fight in the trailer they showed last year, but in this one they showed a lot more combat. It looked really fucking good. I just want to say that the combat looked really nice and chunky. And
of the combat we've seen from like this year's E3, it seemed not a lot of like Dark Souls inspiration, and a lot more just like, I almost want to say like DMC or like Platinum kind of stuff. Maybe not super into that way, but just like you are doing these attacks and not really caring if these things hit you.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I got that kind of vibe as well, in that I think it was the camera angle really made it feel more like a character action game, like a Devil May Cry, like you said. But also, I still felt like it looked like a God of War game. Like, it looked like you were doing a circle combo, and doing the kind of flaily, whippy, fun stuff.
And it definitely looked like there were a couple of QTEs in there also.
Oh yeah, definitely. When they crushed that giant ogre thing's head, that was great.
Like a fire log thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm not particularly one that's massively infatuated with the God of War franchise. I think I've only played it on PSP, weirdly. But I like the direction they're taking this new one. I think it's good. And I like the way it looks. I'm interested to see where the story goes as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm also like, this does look interesting opposed to all the previous God of Wars, which didn't really look interesting for me. I don't think they announced anything in terms of release date, but I'm sure I can dig that stuff up.
Does it still not have a release date? I can't remember now. I feel like maybe they said 2018, but I maybe it's sooner. I don't even know anymore. I have no idea on that one.
Release early 2018, so maybe like spring.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That's the same time as Monster Hunter.
All right.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of things you probably just want to like weigh in on, but I think those were all like those three were the big ones for you. It felt like, right?
Those were the ones that definitely caught my attention the most. Those three or four things. Were there any other points that you thought were interesting in that press conference?
Not really. I mean, like, some of the VR stuff looks interesting. It's again nice to see that companies are setting out aside time for the VR stuff. There's like, I think, four or five different games.
Yeah, I was very surprised how much time they dedicated to VR. That was more than I was expecting. I mean, the thing is, a lot of them. One of my friends who was watching at the same time said they all look like tech demos, and I think that's just the current state of VR, is that, like, the Final Fantasy thing they showed a Final Fantasy VR thing, and it was literally just, hey, we've got fishing if you want to do that in VR, but also in Final Fantasy world.
Yay, fishing! One thing I'm curious about is Ben Studios, the game like Days Gone with zombies in mass. Is that going to be an open world game or a linear game? where it's just like as you progress through it, you can do these sorts of, like, all we've seen so far is linear, but also we've seen like two cutscenes of it, and who knows. But like, I'm curious what that game is apart from zombies, which is not a huge interest for me, but like, they could make it interesting. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Again, zombies not my thing, but I think what they showed this time was good, because last year a lot of people were like, okay, we get it, you have a cool zombie fluid simulation, but do you actually have any gameplay? And this time round, they showed a little bit more of how the story is going to kind of weave in and actually turn that idea of just, hey, we've got a lot of zombies into a game. It looked kind of cool. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's we'll go into the full amount of stuff probably with Cynic when he weighs in on this, as well as Durin. But yeah, thanks for staying up and watching this with us. Are you going to be here for Nintendo tomorrow?
Yeah, I will do. And now I've just found a bunch of more detail about Monster Hunter World to get excited about.
Great.
Apparently, drop-in multiplayer and open world day-night cycle.
I'm very happy for you.
Oh, I'm excited.
Nice. Yeah, thanks for staying with us. And as always, folks, you can find this on scotchcast.cool. But otherwise, stay tuned for the rest of the crew's other impressions for the PlayStation conference.
It's a good URL.
It is. Hey, and we're back after probably some break music, since I'll probably just be stitching all the Sony stuff together. So I'm here with Durin now to talk about what the things he likes on the show from Sony.
You know what I like? I like pre-shows.
They had a lot of that. They had a lot of pre-show.
They sure did.
Did you appreciate that show?
So, I went to the PlayStation Experience, or sorry, I guess the PlayStation E3 Experience. PlayStation Experience is a whole different thing. The E3 Experience. So I was in a movie theater setting watching all of this, and so I didn't have the luxury, that I normally would have watching these, of like having multiple streams, figuring out what's going where. So I was thoroughly confused for a while. I started messaging you asking what the hell was going on, because I was seeing like a random assortment of people behind a desk talking about
games. Were seeing something that to other E3 shows, perhaps the PC gaming show, is kind of their main show.
Yeah, and like a lot of pre-recorded stuff, like very in-depth stuff about some very few games. And at about the 45 minute mark, I started to actually think this might be the show. Like, this Sony may be foregoing the press conference proper for whatever the hell this shit show was. And thank God that turned out not to be true. And then, unfortunately, there was also then another hour, give or take, of actual press conference. Because, man, I had to use the bathroom before the press conference actually started.
Was that an actual press conference? I mean, like, it, I mean, in that... That was just a lot of trailers.
It was, yeah. It in a lot of ways, it's what I wish more of the press conferences were. I say a lot of ways because I do wish there was a little bit more actual gameplay that happened.
Yeah, but it seemed...
we'll get into some of that.
Yeah, it seemed a lot more trailers, a lot less gameplay. It's kind of reminded me a little bit of the Jack Trenton kind of stuff, of like coming in, dropping bombs, and then get off stage. But
yeah, it was very much like they don't have any hardware coming out right now. The hardware's out there. You know what it is. Here's all the games we're working on.
And they're working on a lot of new stuff. We saw a lot of returning stuff, a lot of stuff that they've talked about previously. I think the only
we expected that too. Like, a lot of the stuff we saw last year was stuff that was far off and we were not going to see for a while. So it was expected to see a lot of that. And overall, I'd say we got a lot of what we wanted to see. We got a lot of gameplay for things we had CG trailers for last year and so on. Real quickly, we'll jump back to the pre-show and talk about the couple of tidbits of information. They announced a few games in the pre-show. Nothing super major. They spent way too long on GT Sport. but so I guess we'll talk about like, so Thurb, what is PlayLink?
PlayLink is their take on like Hidden Agenda games, or at least it's them really leaning into the whole like, oh wow, Until Dawn was successful, let's have that studio make something new, but then also make more stuff like that. Like they see Jackbox Party Pack, I guess, doing good stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say that was the first thing I thought of too. Like very much like these guys played a lot of Jackbox and thought like, what other genres could we do this kind of gameplay with?
Which that stuff looks cool.
It looks interesting. So they showed the game by the Until Dawn people. I'm blanking on their name. And that seemed like mildly interesting.
Yeah, a little. Like it's the same thing like, of Until Dawn, but like with not a bunch of teens up in a mountain, but like a prison, I guess, is where it's circling around.
And that was actually like where I was kind of disappointed with it, because I just would rather have seen another Until Dawn. Like the kind of like teen slasher aspect of it was, I think, a lot of where the charm came from in that game, and where why a lot of people were interested in that game. So this one, in that regard, seems a lot less interesting. And I don't remember what the name of it was.
I will say that the like when Until Dawn came out, there weren't a lot of cheesy trope games at the same time as them, but now they're kind of like Friday the 13th is out. What's the Dead by Daylight? And like it's
right. Yeah.
The cheesy trope of like that style is kind of taking a little bit of the forefront in that part of the games people play, of the spooky game.
But like those are all the like asynchronous multiplayer stuff. Whereas Until Dawn still, I think, has an identity of its own.
Yeah.
Being this kind of like weird adventure game thing, and they could have totally done another Until Dawn with this PlayLink style play, and it would have totally worked fine. But anyway, I feel like we've already spent way too long on PlayLink. It's kind of an interesting initiative that if you like the Jackbox style of play, picture that, but with one person having a controller and actually playing a video game, and that's basically PlayLink. One of the other games they showed off was a game by the Resogun guys called Matterfall. And, yo, that totally looked like a game by the Resogun guys. There were particles everywhere.
That totally did.
But it looks cool. And there were rumors that the codes that we got for going to this PlayStation Experience thing may include that entire game, so I'm hoping that's the case.
Right.
I'll know in a few weeks when they send me my codes. Like, you type the code into the website, and they're like, all right, you'll have your digital gifts in your email in a few weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, they did the same thing last year. It's super weird. And like, but this time they didn't really tell you what it was. They gave us like a list of like, these are games you'll get some things in, and it's like Lawbreakers, and there'll be the show, Matterfall, a couple others I'm blanking on. Let It Die, there was something we're getting for that as well. And then I think like a $10 PSN code, so like that's cool, but like it'll probably be like last year where I totally forget about it and then get the email a month from now. Matterfall, it looked pretty. Like it was.
Yeah,
I'm interested in what those guys are doing as a non-launch title for the PlayStation.
It looks crisp. I don't know if like pretty is how I would describe it, but like it definitely looked like Resogun, but better.
Yeah, it looked flashy, I guess I'll say. Maybe not pretty, flashy. And then so the game that like, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but I kind of was surprised that the theater actually kind of blew up about was when they announced Undertale was coming to the PS4 and Vita.
Yeah, there were some cheers here too. I mean, like, it's people love that game, and so I think people might be excited more about the collector's edition with that little locket thing more so than actually playing it again on PS4 or Vita. I mean, like, playing on a Vita is cool. That's definitely seems like a game that would be fun and a good time to play on like the bus route or something. Like that seems a good place to play that game.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Miller is going to be excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
but that was just, you know, they're putting Undertale in another place, guys. Guess what?
Yeah.
The only other one we have written down here that is probably the only other one that's of note from the pre-show is they did show a new trailer with a little bit of gameplay of the new Ni No Kuni. And I'm blanking on the, is it, it's not.
I don't remember what the subtitle is. I just know it's the new Ni No Kuni.
Yeah, it's like something kingdom. I don't know, whatever. It's the new Ni No Kuni. Like, so in some ways it looks interesting, but in the other ways, I feel like they lost what Ni No Kuni was.
Yeah. What it was pretty much just a 50-hour long Pokemon game with a talking lantern and a Scottish accent.
So they completely lost that. Like, that Pokemon aspect is gone.
And so is the lantern guy.
Yeah, lantern guy's gone too. Like, main character's gone. Like, it's a different character now.
He has cat ears.
Where I had an issue with it was actually the art direction. So this one goes, like, it kind of strays away from the really cool, interesting art direction of the first game.
Yeah, it's more Studio Ghibli, less cel-shaded, it seemed like.
It's
when before it was like a nice mix between the two. Or is that, you mean talking about just the overall architecture?
So it's weird. Like, it's not, I wouldn't even say it's more Studio Ghibli. I feel like it was more so last time. It's gone, like, the models look more 3D than they did before, and it makes the whole game look really, really weird. And there were some scenes in there that were just straight up like a completely different art style. So I'm not sure what exactly they have going on there, but it wasn't as interesting to me as I thought it would be, considering how much, even though I didn't finish it, how much I enjoyed the first Ni No Kuni.
Cool.
Moving into the show.
That was the main pre-show, and then we like had
was the hour-long pre-show.
A sigh of relief when the actual show started.
Yes. And we'll kind of hit some of these. I guess you stop me if there's something you want to specifically call out. We're going to skip over the PlayStation Vue thing. That was just a fucking commercial.
I mean, Sony. Yeah, Sony is Sony. Hey, heads up. They make more stuff than video games.
Yeah. They started off with Uncharted, The Lost Legacy, which we've already known about. I don't think there was any gameplay in there. I think it was just a CG trailer. It's hard to know because we didn't have sound in the theater for that part. We only had...
So we had that as well. Like, that must have been the Twitch stream that was broadcasting from the theater, because when you switched to YouTube, it was fine. But yeah, I think it was funny. Like, yeah, that's the end of the Nathan Drake story, but we'll still be making more Uncharted.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fine. It'll be good. It'll be a good game.
Yeah, yeah, I imagine it will be. Then they showed some DLC for Horizon Zero Dawn called
Frozen
Wilds. And that looked really neat. I need to play more of that game.
You do.
That looked cool.
Especially just for Game of the Year talk. Is this? Do we know if this is coming out end of the year?
I don't remember a date for that. I want to say it was 2017, but I don't recall exactly. I'm sure Cynical will probably have a better idea when he does his segment. It looks cool, though. Like, I don't know if I'll buy it because I'm not a big champion of DLC. I don't really ever buy it, but it's cool for people that buy DLC that they're making more of that game.
The Frozen Wilds is scheduled to launch in 2017, though a specific release date was not announced.
So probably like December.
Yeah, maybe
not. So the next thing they showed was we got kind of an extended gameplay of Days Gone. And am I the only one that feels like that game doesn't look as good as people say it does? Like visually?
It didn't look as good as last time. The last time you could tell was much more vertical slice with high graphics and all that. Like, that was just him wandering around a very small arena in the first trailer. And this one was much more stuff.
The character models looked bad.
They didn't look great.
They looked late PS3, not PS4.
They looked fine to me. I mean, like, they didn't jump out like Horizon did, but yeah, they looked fine.
But either way, it was good to see some actual gameplay of that. Like, there are other people, it turns out. It's not just you. Like, there is like a settlement you start out in this little slice they showed, and you're going to save a dude. And there are other like factions or groups of people that are you know, opposed to you. So that was good to see. It's not just zombies. Though there were a lot of zombies.
There were many zombies.
You could use the zombies as a trap, and that was pretty cool. Though the zombies totally would have gone after him first. So whatever, I guess. And then it ended with zombie bear with barbed wire wrapped around it, because zombie bear itself is not like out there enough, I guess. I don't know. It looks okay. I still am unsure about that game. Are you looking forward to it?
I told Ballard much the same thing of just like, I am tentatively interested in it. I want to know more about what it is. I'm not going to repeat the same thing just for the listeners, but yeah, maybe just because it depends if there's anything else that, if I'm still playing Murder Island by the time that game comes out, I'm going to have a whole new set of issues, but
right.
Yeah, like I might get that, but
they're still saying 2017 for that, right?
I think so, but like zombies.
I think I saw that.
Ugh, come on. No more zombies.
So the next thing we have on our list here is Monster Hunter World. So Monster Hunter is leaving Nintendo. That's the big takeaway from this. It was at the Sony press conference, but it is not PlayStation exclusive. It's coming out on Xbox 360 and PS4 with a later PC release date that they are not committing to when that'll be.
Just for a correction, you said Xbox 360.
It's probably coming to that too, man. I don't know.
Probably.
Well, it's coming to one of the Xboxes. You decide which one.
One of the Xboxes. The one with all the X's in it.
Yeah, yeah. Whichever one has the most X's, that's the one it's coming to. It's like a drop-in multiplayer Monster Hunter, which I thought they all were, but I guess not. So even if you're playing, I guess one of the big things is like, even if you're playing solo and you're out in the world doing your thing and you're fighting a thing and you're like, you need help, you can send up like an SOS flare and other players can like, I guess, like react to that. Like they can decide like, okay, I'm going to go help that person. I'm guessing maybe like Dark Souls style, because then it'll basically pull in three other players into your game to help you out with whatever you're doing. But you can also just play the game multiplayer as well. It's not just Dark Souls style. You can just play with friends multiplayer. But it looks cool. Like, I don't think it's for me, but for Monster Hunter fans, it's good to see that leave Nintendo in a way, because that game looked really, really pretty.
Yeah, it's just amazingly being not on a Nintendo console makes it look a lot better.
That game looked real good. Moving on. So I'm going to correct you on this. You have written down here Shadow of the Colossus up-res. This is not an up-res. This is a remake.
So it is a complete remake. Okay, yeah, because we weren't sure because there was already the up-res from the PS3 era.
Yeah, and I wasn't completely certain watching it there at the theater because we're watching on a giant theater screen that was not an IMAX screen, so it wasn't the best quality. But I came back here and I watched a bit of the trailer again here.
Also, and like this was sandwiched between two Capcom games, so I wasn't sure if it was just another up-res of an up-res.
Right, right. But no, yeah, there are details here that were not present in the original game by far. The character model looks way better than even the PS3 release. Like, this is definitely... This appears to be a full on remake, not an up res.
Cool.
Which might be why when they showed the title card for it, it was just Shadow of the Colossus. It wasn't like Shadow of the Colossus HD or remastered or anything like that. Like, this seems to be a full remake, like, you know, lighting systems, everything in it, more than 10 frames a second. So that's good. I'm pretty excited about that. I liked Shadow of the Colossus a lot. I'm excited to see more. It's 2018 release, so who knows when we'll actually get it. Moving along, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. They showed some story stuff for that. It seems kind of interesting. I'm not a big fighting game fan, and MVC has always been too fast for me to keep up with anyway. But they're going to put out story demo. Like,
yeah, I like that they're leading with the story, and it looks like it's going to be kind of like the Injustice story, like the Justice and Mortal Kombat storyline take of like that sort of narrative, which is cool.
I think so, but like they didn't really show any cuts from like story to fighting, so it seems like it'll be that way, but we don't, I guess, really know for certain. Unless you've already played the demo before you listen to this, and then you know already. I'm sorry, that was directed at the listener. I know you haven't yet. They show Call of Duty. It's World War II.
I did not hear a Wilhelm scream. I'm kind of sad. I mean, like, it's a Call of Duty that's in Germany in World War II.
We got time for more trailers.
Okay. Okay. You say so. Put that in every trailer.
So then we'll quickly go through their VR segment, which I will say real quick, there were more VR games here than I thought there was going to be. First up was Skyrim, and they managed to make Skyrim look visually worse than it did on the Switch version. Like, that Skyrim VR looked fucking rough, like 360 Skyrim kind of rough. But
need
like
to remind people how old Skyrim is.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the graphics.
When I say 360 this time, I actually meant it. But like what you're doing there seemed kind of neat. Like my wife actually saw that and like her response was like, that would actually be cool to do in VR. But it has the same kind of movement that Fallout has, which worries me. So I don't know how that's actually going to play. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they figured something out that we're not aware of yet. We haven't seen it in person or anything. So then they showed off a game called Starchild. It was it's one of those VR games. I don't understand why it exists as VR game, because it's just a side scrolling platformer.
Headset. I think you play as the Iron Man guy in the background. I don't know. I mean,
so
like this.
So it could just be a Move controller game then.
Yeah, totally.
It's one of those weird VR games that should not be a VR game, or it doesn't need to be a VR game, but it looked interesting.
Cool soundtrack. I might pick up that soundtrack.
Yeah, had a good soundtrack. And then they showed The Inpatient, which was, who was putting that out? I recognized the name at the time, and it's escaping me right now. Anyway.
You think this is better or worse for video games portraying people at a mental institute, or about the same?
It's hard to know, really. Like, we didn't see a lot. I think it has the potential to be better because it's kind of putting you more in that role, as long as they handle it better. But no, it's hard to know. Like, they showed so little of it. It's probably not going to be better because they're trying to like sell this as like a suspense game, and like, mental hospitals are spooky. So it probably won't be better, but it'll be better than the next game on the list.
I don't know. I mean, I really like fishing games and anime.
Yeah. So if nothing else, at least they chucked what they were doing with the Final Fantasy VR before and decided to go the route of making it a fishing game instead.
Just a dumb old fishing game.
And like, okay, sure. All right. It's dumb, but it's better than the like oogling at Cindy VR experience that it was before.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. You're right. That's better.
And again, I forget the name of it, but it was a Final Fantasy 15 fishing VR experience, and supposedly it's coming out this year.
It was a really good, dumb, serious name too. Like
it was like something of the deep, or
the
like
murky waters of the jaws catch of the deep. Yeah,
something like that. It was weird. And then that's okay. So The Inpatient was Supergiant Games, because then they also are putting out a game.
No, it wasn't Supergiant.
Sorry, not Supergiant. The other one that sounds like Supergiant.
Yes. I will look this up while you talk about Bravo Team.
Yeah, Bravo Team, which, by the way, that title card for it literally used the exact same background as The Inpatient did. They just stuck different text on there. It's a war shooting gallery. That's all it is. I don't have anything else to say about it. Next game, it was a game called Moss, So it started out with like this like mouse with giant ears, like a little white mouse with giant ears with like a weird like green claw thing on one of its front paws things. My first reaction when I was watching this thing and seeing him like eventually putting on armor and stuff, I was like, man, Stuart.
Super massive games.
Super massive games, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're putting out Impatient and Bravo Team. Moss, I don't remember who was making that, but it looks interesting. It's another one that I'm not sure why it's a VR game.
But at least they acknowledge the fact that it's a VR game, that like if you that you saw in your reflection that you were this weird ethereal no face thing.
Oh, see, I actually missed that. Okay. All right.
Yeah, there was that was a point the end where, of like, VR. Yeah, the mouse thing went up to like a dock, a little mouse sized dock by some water, and then you saw your reflection.
Okay. Interesting. I'll have to go back and watch that again.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the end of the VR section. Like I said, there were more VR games there than I expected there to be. But moving Six. On past yeah. that, yeah. Moving on past that, they showed some more God of War. And what I took from that was I'm a little bit worried because it seems like your son is with you for a large chunk of that game, at least, if not the duration of it. So I'm getting like flashbacks of the Ashley parts of Resident Evil 4. And that's worrying to me. I hope to God that you don't have to actually like micromanage having to deal with the son and keeping him safe and everything. That's probably part of the mechanics, but I hope not.
I'd like to think they find a hook around it. Like maybe he does interact with the enemies do attack him, but he just like the AI is smart enough to just stay alive and not get hurt and just cheese. I don't know.
We'll see. I would hope so. Like it seemed like in a lot of the combat sequences we were seeing, like he was just non-existent. So I'm hoping that that's all it is.
Like you're fighting this
reversal stuff. He's with you.
You're fighting this giant, like, mythical beast, and he's just, like, pelting this side of it with little arrows, and it's not really affecting, but he's doing stuff.
Yeah, that'd be fine. That'd be okay. So this note you have in here actually is a little bit confusing to me. You have in here that the combat seems more like DMC than Dark Souls. I would actually say that the combat seems more like God of War than anything else.
It's been like, a it's while since I've seen a God of War game.
Yeah, like, it's a different camera angle, but the combat still... It feels like a slowed down God of War.
I can see like, a slowed like down, the, maybe a less jumpy version of God of War. Cause
yeah, like the hits are much more deliberate. There's more animation to everything, but it very much still feels like a God of War game.
I can see that.
Definitely not Dark Souls. That's for sure. I can agree with you there. There's no new thing. Thank God they did not put Dark Souls combat into God of War. Yeah, and then I like your note of Year of the Giant Snake, because, yeah, there is another giant snake in this one.
So many giant snakes this year. And yeah. This one had a beard.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Is Nidhogg 2 is coming out this year also, right?
Supposedly.
So many giant snakes.
But speaking of snakes and the oil, what comes from them, David Cage's game was the next one. To be shown here. Detroit Become Human, I think is the subtitle for that.
I believe that's the subtitle for it.
And I think I'm fully checked out on that game based on this trailer. I've been interested in his previous games. I've played large portions of them. I don't think I've ever finished one, but I've enjoyed what I've played of them. This one... seems in no way interesting whatsoever.
It's just like I'm not sure what new or interesting thing he could like this game could tell me about or like I can learn from, other than like, oh no, it's just either countless books or movies or stories or media or just something that we've heard before. Like in my notes I put Planet of the Ape Eyes, because this looks like the Planet of the Ape movies that we've been seeing for the past couple of years, just like but with robots instead of gorillas.
Yeah, like story-wise, yeah, like I don't feel like there's anything new or interesting happening there in the story. But also, like, gameplay-wise, nothing that I saw that might have been gameplay, because it's fucking hard to know with his games. Nothing there, like, really drew me in at all. It seems like one of the least playable of his games in terms of, like, you actually playing the game. Like, a lot of it just seems to be cutscene, and occasionally you'll hit some buttons, which I know, I guess a lot of that was Beyond Two Souls as well.
He's just bringing us like back into
even more in that direction.
Like, this is just modern day FMV, but without the video. It's just
modern day FM.
It's modern FM day radio? CG. FMCG.
FMCG. Okay. Yeah. It's I don't think I'm going to buy this game. Actually, I know I'm not going to buy this game. I don't think I have any interest in even watching somebody play through it. This game could just not exist as far as I'm concerned. There's nothing interesting about it whatsoever.
What about something interesting with Destiny?
Oh, Destiny?
Destiny 2.
Destiny 2, like... So, with the announcements they'd shown up to this point, I had been kind of on board with Destiny 2. I liked that they seemed to be doubling down on the story stuff, like... They're making the changes to it that I feel like they needed to make. And obviously it's still way early to tell for certain, but Anthem kind of has drawn me away from Destiny at this point. I'm way more interested in what Anthem might be than what Destiny 2 seems to be.
Okay. That's fair.
Also, like, it's coming to PC, which is cool. Like, I'm happy about that. So if I do buy it, that's where it'll be. So it is a little sad to see that they're doing the Sony special stuff again, but at the same time, like, none of that is necessary. It's like one new dungeon equivalent, one multiplayer map, a skin.
I don't even think there's a dungeon equivalent. It's the PvP map and the special gun. I don't think I saw.
No, there's a strike.
There's a strike. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. There was a strike. PvP map, a gun, a ship, and an armor set.
Okay.
So I mean, there's a lot of stuff, but none of it's like necessary for the game at all. Like, I guess hopefully it's not like the first game was, where like that strike was actually kind of necessary because there wasn't a lot else to do. But I don't know. Destiny looks interesting. If people are super hype on it after release, then maybe I'll go ahead and pick it up. But nothing is selling me on it that hard right now, knowing that Anthem is presumably kind of around the corner.
Yeah, the biggest thing for both of those is just like, not necessarily what's the, I don't expect like 5 raid sort of thing after release, but at least what's the initial stuff post-release?
Yeah, totally. And I guess with Anthem, like, you know, what is the post-release at all?
Yeah.
Because we don't know, like, are there even raids in that game? Like, who knows? And rounding out the show...
They had a little surprise for us. Sony, the company that owns one superhero, had a little surprise for us.
I mean, yeah, I feel like we kind of saw this coming. But, yeah, they showed off Spider-Man, finally, some actual gameplay. Like, a pretty lengthy gameplay section. I'm interested in the game.
Okay, so it sounds like you're in the same boat as me. Okay.
That was a lot of CG. That was a lot of cutscene, I should say. Not CG. That was a lot of cutscene.
It was an E3 demo.
A lot of playing.
Yes.
It was an unfortunate E3 demo. Like, it's the first gameplay we've seen, and the vast majority of it, it was a really poor choice for them to show as the first gameplay sequence, because what I could easily take away from that is, oh, this is one of those games where all the cool stuff is done in a cutscene with the occasional QTE. I did like that eventually he moved to swinging around the city. That looked good and seems like it'll feel good. It doesn't seem like you're going to be bouncing off of buildings. It seems to smartly move. The fighting... I wouldn't quite go so far as to say it's Batman combat per se. It's made like an interesting thing about it is it seems like it's taking the Batman combat and maybe putting a twist on it. There's some kind of slowdown built into there.
a lot more CC there's... with the Batman combat, whereas Batman, he would just be willing to either counter, like, he, Batman's much more of a brawler, this is much more, like, I almost don't want to say, like, rogue or thief-like, but, like, kind of that same design, but in Spider-Man ways.
Spider-Man's more about, like, controlling space, I feel like.
Yeah.
Whereas Batman, yeah, Batman's just kind of a brawler, and he'll just continue countering moves forever, whereas I don't feel like Spider-Man really can do that. There's some interesting, like, kind of unique animations to the combat. I'm wondering how many of those there are, and if it's just going to kind of repeat the same things over and over again. And also, like, what are the button presses that are happening? Am I just mashing the square button over and over again, and it looks flashy on the screen, or am I doing, like, actual cool little combo things? So, like, that's kind of what I would like to see. I want to find out about some hands-on that I imagine are going to happen over the next couple of days and see kind of how that game actually plays. But I'm cautiously optimistic. Like, it seems like a good Spider-Man game. I hope that it's not all cutscenes and QTEs. And I hope it's as open as it seems like it should be. I hope it's not just, like, kind of linear story and occasionally you're swinging around the city for a specific objective, but it looks good. That was the show. As you noted here, there was no Last of Us 2 scene, which is not terribly surprising because that thing is super far off anyway. That's my take on the Sony show. They showed a lot of games. Like, so the interesting part was, when the actual show proper started, Sean Layden came out, did a little bit of talking, left, and then we saw a fuck ton of trailers, and then 55 minutes later, or 50 minutes later, he came back out on stage to, like, kind of close things out before the Spider-Man thing. Like, this was just trailer after trailer after trailer after trailer. I was generally pleased with what I saw. I know you probably already kind of went over some of this, but, like, I'm curious, what did you think of the show?
Generally pleased. I'm not sure what I expected from this other than to, like, because it's weird that there's, I mean, we saw Shuhei in the pre-show. Adam Boyes isn't part of there anymore. I didn't really expect John Drake to show up on stage, but, like, it was just Sean, and it was kind of weird that he was the only human who showed up. And, like, Sony has, of like, you know, compared to Microsoft or something, they've always been the company that is much more, I guess, willing to, like, either show off that they are a bunch of just, like, fun people who like playing games, or at least, like, joke about that kind of stuff. And this was all just, like, trailers, a little bit of gameplay, and out.
Yeah, it was, like you said, it was just Sean, and even he didn't really spend all that much time up on a stage. I feel like, Microsoft had something to prove with this E3. They have a new, very expensive piece of hardware to sell people on.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming from behind, so, like, there was work to be done. Whereas Sony are still selling PS4s hand over fist.
I mean, it's,
and,
like,
have the better exclusives all around anyway. So all they really need to do is just keep up momentum. And I feel like that's what this press conference was all about, was momentum.
Looking at just the overall structure of this, just from my notes, like, they led with some first party stuff. Like, the first three were first party. Then there was, like, the Capcom thing with Shadow of the Colossus in the middle of it, Call of Duty, and then, like, the middle of the show was PlayStation VR, and then they ended with a bunch of just third party stuff, and then finalized with Spider-Man. But, like, I just maybe expected more stuff at the beginning from them. But yeah, I guess it was a good show.
Yeah, it's hard because, like, on one hand, you want to say, like, you expected maybe more first party stuff from them. But then, you know, looking at what we did get, like, you know, Uncharted launched not that long ago. So, of course, we're not going to see much from Naughty Dog. Like, the fact that we're even getting The Lost Legacy is kind of crazy anyway. Guerrilla Games, like, they just put out Horizon this year. So the only thing we're getting from them is DLC. Bend has been working on Days Gone forever. So, like, we got, you know, some more Days Gone. But, like, and then, of course, you know, Shadow of the Colossus is internal as well. And those guys just put out that game that took forever. That I'm blanking on the name.
Last Guardian.
Yep. So, like, their first party studios have put out games very recently. So, and they kind of all put out games very recently. So it's not terribly surprising that we're not seeing a lot of, like, new first party stuff from Sony. But what they made sure of is, like, that, again, because we weren't going to see that, they made sure they brought the third party. And they had some pretty good, like, hard hitters on their third party lineup here.
Yeah, no, like, there was some good stuff. Like, it's, I think, probably the game of the show, even though I'm not even a huge fan of it, but just, like, it sounds like your interest with it, as well as Ballard's, was probably Monster Hunter, which is, you know, third party. But,
yeah. Oh, I'm not interested in playing it at all. Like, that's not a game for me. But, like, I recognize how big Monster Hunter is and how big of a deal it is that it's finally leaving Nintendo.
Like, I didn't watch
full platform.
I wasn't watching the Giant Bomb one, but I kind of want to look back at that moment to see if, like, Jason is flipping out behind screen.
Oh, yeah. I imagine you're going to hear Jason yelling in the background. I can't wait to watch that as well. Yeah, no, I mean, like, if I were to pick a game out of everything they showed here that I am most interested in, what someone might call a game of show, it would... I'm not sure what this says about me or this press conference, but it would probably actually be the Shadow of the Colossus remake. Because I loved the hell out of that game, and this version of it looks really fucking good. And I'm totally down to play that game again.
Yeah, like, there wasn't a ton of stuff from the PlayStation conference that had me super psyched. But overall, from all the conferences, I mean, like, I don't think Nintendo's going to have anything tomorrow for PlayStation, but, like, I'm excited to play games on my PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I can see a handful of games here that over the next year will say, I will definitely be purchasing, which is more than I can say from any of the other press conferences thus far. So, cool. Yeah. I mean, maybe not a terribly surprising showing, but I would say a fairly strong showing from Sony. They played it safe this year. But they played it safe, but, like, they didn't need to take risks. Like, they're already ahead. They just, it's all about that momentum.
I know. It would have been cool to have them say, like, maybe next year they'll be like, hey, you can change your name on PSN now. They're saving that for PSX.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Oh. It's going to happen. Backwards compatibility.
Mm-hmm. They need to go backwards on that. All right. They need to be looking forward when other companies are thinking backwards.
Hey, don't steal my line.
I gave you the opportunity to say it and you didn't. Thanks for joining us, folks. Durin, any last bits, or... I guess we'll probably add on Cynic's solo of this, because I'm sure he's going to talk a lot about this.
Yeah, I apologize if that went long. I'm not sure how long that went. I tried to keep it short because I know Cynic is going to go long with this. But the only thing I'll say is, like, I'm kind of excited to hear what Nintendo has tomorrow, mostly because I've been hearing a lot about a possible Smash Brothers announcement.
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty interested in that. I'll be pretty excited if they actually announce it, even if it's 2018.
Yeah, I mean, like, if they announce two things, I'll say they announce more Switch stuff than Bethesda. Or no, Ubisoft.
Ubisoft, yeah. No, they have to announce three. Ubisoft announced two games.
I mean, like, still, they'll announce some feature as well. So, like, two and a half is all it takes. But yeah,
so
thanks.
Two games and a vitality sensor?
Mm-hmm. That's all it takes. Mm-hmm. Great.
All right. Takes two.
Thanks for listening, folks.